I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9-to-5 is something that I don't wanna do. Sit in the cubicle miserable as I slave away. Getting complacent with life as my dreams fade away. Nah, motivation to go harder. I'd rather spit that real.
Good morning, good evening, good night, folks. This is your Five Tool Sports Podcast host, Woody Massey, and I'm here with all of the tools today. We've got Nasty Nate Parker.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Everybody having a good day?
No, I woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning, and then my coffee was cold when I got to it.
Definitely, I could definitely feel that vibe.
CSPN McLaughlin, how are you doing there, sir?
I can't complain, man. Live and in color.
You should change that to a shoehorn. Brandon Lumberg. What's good,
How's
bro?
How's it going, Woody?
What's going on, man?
How you doing today? Another day.
You ready to get into these defenses, bro? I know you put in a lot of work on these rankings.
Yes, sir.
Right on, right on. All right, let's dive into a little bit of news today. To kick it off with some NFL news, we have Le'Veon Bell came out and made a little comment about Andy Reid in the media. And he said he enjoyed his time. He put this on Instagram. He said he enjoyed his time with the Chiefs. And it was one of the closest knit teams he's ever been on. But he would never play for Andy Reid again after something that he said to him. Now, Le'Veon's being evasive. And he won't say what Andy Reid specifically said to him. But I imagine it had something to do with, why I ain't getting the ball more? Because you washed up. that's what I'm picturing. It had something to do with it.
I don't know. I mean, I think Andy Reid probably promised him more touches within that offense, perhaps. And it didn't happen. I mean, Kansas City was throwing the ball 75-80% of the time back half of the season anyway. So,
Defense wasn't really holding people. Do we see Le'Veon Bell this year make it on a roster? I'd be surprised, honestly. He comes with so much baggage. So much baggage. And it's not like he did anything crazy when he went to Kansas City in the best offense in the league.
I mean, I don't think he comes with any baggage.
What? You're crazy, bro. Like, every team he stops at is a dumpster fire.
He comes with any baggage.
Crazy.
I mean, look. Pittsburgh. He was all pro. He did his thing. He left there. He went to the Jets. He go to the Chiefs. I mean, but like, what baggage? Like, he's not going to jail. He's not getting locked up. He's not out here beating women or saying anything like crazy or outlandish in the media.
I mean,
like, he's not pulling the Antonio Brown
incident comes to mind.
Yeah, I mean, we can bring that up. But right now, he's not Deshaun Watson in the media. He's not Aaron Rodgers. A distraction in the media. He's not Antonio Brown, what he was last year in the media. I mean,
the difference with all those people is they still perform at a high level, though.
Right, but we're talking about baggage. I don't think he has any baggage. I mean, to answer your question, I think he will get on a roster. Now, quite frankly, to see what he does moving forward, whether he has anything left in the tank, I guess we'll see. He's still on the right side of 30, so I mean, it's not.
There's a media circus to performance ratio that we saw. And there's usually a hard stop on players like that. And two that come to mind are like Chad Johnson and Terrell Owens. Like, they still had a little bit left in the tank, especially Terrell. But like, what comes with them speaking to the media versus their production, there's a scale there. College football, playoff expansion. Y'all can talk about this. I haven't read too much on it yet. I heard some like basics of it.
So, for example, the way that it's going to set up, or at least it's being presented right now, is that if we were to take the 2020 season and use that as, you know, a 12 team college football playoff format, for example, we would have had Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and Oklahoma would have been the top-ranked conference champions, and they would have received byes. The rest of the field would have been Notre Dame, Texas A&M, Florida, Cincinnati, Georgia, Iowa State, Indiana, and Coastal Carolina, for example. So you would have had matchups in the college football playoff, or a 12-team college football playoff, for example. You would have potentially had Coastal Carolina, a 12 seed, versus number 5 Notre Dame. The winner would take on 4th-seeded Oklahoma. Another matchup would have been Indiana as an 11 seed versus 6 seed Texas A&M. The winner of that facing off against the 3rd seed in Ohio State. And then Georgia and Cincinnati, which we did get to see in a bowl game. You would have had those. Yeah, you would have had them matching up as a 9 and an 8 seed to play the number 1 seed in Alabama, for example. So it'll be interesting. I think that what it really does ultimately is it'll help parity in college football. I mean, if you look at, you know, the past history of the college football playoff, for example, since 2016, in the AP, the Associated Press poll, Clemson's been in the top 4 or 5 times. Alabama and Ohio State's both been in there 4 times. So you're looking at, you know, basically a top heavy college football. You're getting a small percentage of teams that have that championship potential. So championship caliber players are going to do whatever they can to get into those schools. So if you expand the playoff, you're going to expand the opportunities for guys who want to make the playoff, but still also want more playing time. So I think it changes the parity discussion in college football overall. I think that's the big thing. That's really all I have on it for now. I don't even know the time frame on it, to be honest. But
you know, I think the biggest thing with it is just money. More football games, more football for the fans, more postseason events. So financially, it just makes sense for all parties involved. It does bring a sense of parity, as Brandon alluded to. One of the cons about it, though, is I've heard that it may take away from conference championships. So, I mean, it kind of remains to be seen. But also, Brandon, you said it's a 12-team playoff. The playoff bracket will look similar to what the NFL playoff bracket used to be. Basically, 12 teams made it, 6 from each division. Obviously, this isn't going to be broken up by division, but you would have 4 teams. You're in the NFL, it'd be your top 2 highest seeds in each conference will get the first round bye, right? So 4 teams will get a first round bye. So here in college football, in this playoff format, it would be, as you said, the top 4 teams. So it
would finally make sense.
Really interesting. It does. Yeah. It does.
I like it. It'll be interesting to see how they weight conference championships now, because I could certainly see conference championships being more important, simply based on win rate and who they're playing. But then it also becomes important for the losers of those conference championship games to keep it close, because then there's an additional spot in the playoff for the team that loses, potentially.
Yeah. Well, but if you think about it like this, like now, if you go into a conference championship and if you win it, you're going to be in the playoff. Well, now more times than not, if you win your conference, we've seen it. If you win your conference championship, you win your conference.
Power five. So if we're talking power five, exactly. I completely agree. Yeah.
Right. So, well, here's the thing too, to keep in mind, we could see, like, and we've talked about this before, where smaller schools start to dissolve away from Division One, and then it's going to shrink down. So a 12-team playoff, essentially, and it looking more like the NFL is realistic, where there could just be 50 Division One teams, or just the Power Five schools in those conferences, and even some of the smaller schools within those conferences are the ones that aren't as financially lucrative within the athletic department. You could see some of those schools fall off. And we talked about that last year, CJ.
This is what's going to happen. Your top 10 teams out of the 12 that make the playoffs, it's going to be the conference champion and the conference champion runner-up. Those are going to be your top 10, and then you're probably going to have roughly two at-large, probably like your Boise States or, you know, your group of 5 team who so happens to be undefeated this past year would have been BYU. Well, really would have been Coastal Carolina, because I think BYU lost. But, I mean, it's going to be interesting. And also, I think something important to note is that Notre Dame, since they don't have a conference affiliation, they will not qualify for one of the 4 byes.
Byes, yeah. Correct. So they'll join a conference is what's going to end up happening.
Yeah.
They're going to be
ACC. Aren't they ACC for basketball?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, they'll probably get ACC.
Who's going to have to play Clemson? Mm.
All right, guys. Well, we're going to dive right over into CJ's trivia corner, see what he's got for us today. It's about defense. So imagine it's going to be something defensive.
You think so, Woody?
Well, you can be predictable with these.
My man. Well, look, you know, like I said, I always like to try to bring it all together. But, you know, who knows? One day I might catch y'all with the okie doke.
Welcome to 5 Tool Trivia. Oh, yeah.
Man, I did a lot of research. A lot of questions came to mind. And to be honest, I'm still stuck between two. And I'm going to choose right now. I'm a sucker for trivia. I'll do both. How about that? So, the first trivia question is, who is the youngest player in NFL history to win back-to-back Defensive Player of the Year awards? I'm going to ask it one more time. Who is the youngest player in NFL history to win back-to-back Defensive Player of the Year awards? That's the first question. I'm going to ask them both. Then we'll go to the ad read, and then we'll come back from break. We'll go around the table to see if you guys have the correct answers. All right. The second question is, who is the only defender to win Defensive Player of the Year with two different teams? I'll read it one more time. Who is the only defender to win Defensive Player of the Year with two different teams?
I think I know the second one for sure.
All right, we'll go to break. When we come back from break, I'll send it around and we'll see if we have the answers. Hey guys, it's your boy CSPN, and you know I love watching and analyzing football. There's nothing that trumps the CSPN eye test, but let's be real, the numbers do matter. If you want to make sure the numbers match your eye test, give our sister site a check at www.footballscout365.com. Football Scout 365 has become my go-to source for situational football scouting and analytics. Football Scout 365 offers advanced NFL, NFL draft, and fantasy football analysis to help you take your knowledge of the game to the next level. So head on over to footballscout365.com and join for free today. That's footballscout365.com. And we're back. So I'll reread the questions one more time. We'll spin it around to, let's see, who went first last week? I can't even remember. Nate went first. Okay, no, so okay. Yeah, I think Nate is correct. And I usually do Brandon last because you're great, Brandon, and you're an asset. You're just not good at trivia. Yeah, and Woody, who's been, Woody, I mean, going back to, like, you know, when I first, like, 10 years ago when we was in school together, you've always been exceptional, to say the least, at trivia.
I think that might be the nicest thing you've ever said about me.
Probably. I gotta drink some water. So not
that bad.
Who is the youngest player in NFL history to win back-to-back Defensive Player of the Year awards?
Charles Woodson.
God. That's what I wanted to say at first.
That's your guess? Okay.
That was my guess, too. Actually, for sake of guessing, I'll go Julius Peppers.
Ooh.
My guess is Khalil Mack.
Oh, that's a good guess, too.
These are all good guesses. So, all right. So, I got Charles Woodson from Brandon.
I know Woody.
What he said.
Julius Peppers.
Oh, Julius. He makes me think of a homeboy from Remember the Titans.
Big Julius.
Showtime!
Attitude. And
Nate,
right, leadership.
Nate says Khalil Mack. Yeah, these are all really, really good guesses.
But wrong.
However, they are all wrong.
It's a DB. It has to be, and it's going to be arguably the GOAT.
Oh, shit. No, it's not Revis. So, it's young Champ Bailey.
Nope.
Oh, never mind.
It's not Revis.
Nope. And it's not Deion Sanders. I mean,
are we going to answer the first question too, or are we just going to do the second one first?
No, so I'm going to go ahead and give y'all the answer to the one I just asked.
All right.
Who's the only defender to win Defensive Player of the Year with two different teams? This player did this in 1987.
Ronnie Lott.
Philadelphia Eagles.
Reggie White.
In 1998.
Wow.
Well, Reggie White was also going to be my answer for the other question too, so.
Well, let's see. Yeah. So,
I'm not going to say anymore.
In the other question, are you sure?
Oh, the same answer, two questions? All right, yeah, I'll stick with it.
So, who was the youngest player in NFL history to win back-to-back Defensive Player of the Year awards? What he says, Reggie White.
Well, I actually think it's J.J. Watt, but...
All right, so what he says, J.J. Watt. What he gets six different answers. Brandon, who do you have?
I don't know, Lawrence Taylor.
And Nate, who do you have?
I was going to say J.J. Watt.
Nate also says J.J. Watt. The correct answer. Who's the youngest player in NFL history to win back-to-back Defensive Player of the Year awards? This guy did it his rookie year in 81 and did it again in 82. What he should have guessed it is from one of your favorite teams, the New York Giants. Shout out to Brandon, who never gets it right.
Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah.
Nice. Lawrence Taylor's crazy, man. And one of my favorite NFL documentaries, Crunch Course, they interview Lawrence Taylor because he's like the most deadly player of all time. Like everyone, literally everyone who talks about him in that documentary are like, Lawrence Taylor was a bad dude, man, because he just wasn't right in the head. They literally said Lawrence Taylor was so bad at memorizing plays, he wouldn't remember any of the plays. So every time he forgot what you're supposed to do on a specific play, he would just go after the quarterback. So he would be like doing blitzes when he wasn't supposed to, but he's just so damn good at rushing the passer that they were like, okay, yeah, you can just keep freelancing as much as you want.
I mean, and look, just to, you know, kind of push this conversation forward a little bit, we've seen some premier defenders, you know, come up recently. You know, you guys brought up some J.J. Watt. He's been dominant. He's one of he's on a short list of players who've actually who have three Defensive Player of the Year awards. So, I mean, it's, you know, Khalil Mack, Aaron Donald, another short list up there with Lawrence Taylor. So it's pretty phenomenal. Let's see. I had some numbers pulled up regarding Defensive Player of the Year. Let's see. Let's see. The award has won.
JJ, LT, and Aaron Donald have all won it three times. That's crazy. That's the most. No one's ever won it four.
If you look at Aaron Donald's like career, each year he's won something. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
If it wasn't NFL Defensive Player of the Year, it was something else that he did. It's crazy.
Joe Green, Ray Lewis, Mike Singletary, Bruce Smith, and Reggie White, who is in the trivia question, they've all won it twice. Let's see.
Reggie White counts as white because his last name.
linebackers have won the award the most at 16 times. Defensive ends have won it 13 times. Defensive tackles have won it 10 times. And your defensive backs, which for whatever reason are the least loved, are six corners and five safeties. Off the cuff, who's the shortest player ever to win NFL Defensive Player of the Year?
Bob Sanders.
Good job, Bob Sanders. Yep.
Oh yeah, from Indy, 5'8". Yeah. He went to Iowa
that year. Yep. That Indy went to the Super Bowl was because of, but like, as much as it was Peyton Manning, like, that defense was trash. But and Bob Sanders missed part of that season. Like, he missed a couple games. And when he came back, he literally took that defense from being one of the worst to a top five defense in the NFL.
I don't know. I actually recall that season a bit different. If I recall correctly, and Trust me, it's been a lot of things between that time and now. That defense was good all year because Robert Mathis, I want to say that was the 1 year Peyton Manning actually had like a really good defense, and that's why they won it, because Robert Mathis was a hell of a player as well too. But Dwight Freeney, but I don't know. That's 15 years.
Linebackers and corners weren't very good.
Well, as Brandon, I'm sure, will tell us later on in the show, if you got edge rushers,
yeah,
hey,
yep,
you can make some shake.
Robert Mathis, man, he really was slept on as a player because, Dwight Freeney got the numbers, but Robert Mathis was a strip artist. He caused so many fumbles rushing the quarterback. It was crazy.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, let's dive into our main topic today. Today, we are moving over to my favorite side of the football, the defensive side of the football. We're going to be looking at – so Brandon's broken this down into three different categories, and then it's an average of these three categories' rankings, and that moves you into the main overall ranking category. In those three categories, we are looking at – we have the pass rush grades, we have the run stop grades, and then we have pass coverage grades. Let's start from the bottom and move our way up. We're going to start at the number 10 overall defense in the league. And this was surprising because they have probably one of the lowest rankings out of the three categories in one of them, but because they're higher in the other two, that's why they averaged out to number 10. And that would be the New York Jets. And this is a positive because obviously they're bringing in Robert Saleh, the defensive specialist from the San Francisco 49ers, and the Jets were as high as 11th on run defense, and their pass rush was actually surprisingly good, which they've been trying to get going for the past couple years, was number 5th overall. But where they've been hurting, honestly, since Darrell Revis left the New England Patriots, was their pass coverage at 30th overall. And they've taken a couple corners in the first round since then, and it just hasn't really worked out. And they trade away Jamal Adams. Brandon, do you see the New York Jets pass coverage getting better this year?
I think really with the Jets, the big answer for them this year going into the season is going to be the pass rush. You've got the addition of Carl Lawson, obviously, on the edge. He's going to provide a pass rush for them. Their entire defensive front is what I believe is going to further solidify what they're able to do in the secondary, especially with the linebacker play as well, keeping those guys clean in that regards. I mean, they've got Carl Lawson up front. They've got... you know, on the defensive line, they've got Quinnen Williams. Obviously, we've seen what he could do a season ago. In addition to Folarunsu Fatakasi, who is also playing nose tackle. So he's playing inside. And you've got Franklin Myers as well playing up front. So this defensive front is going to be a strength for these guys. I think it's going to help the secondary down the line. I mean, honestly, if you're not getting home enough, your secondary is going to have to do some things when you've got guys out on an island. I don't think the secondary is that great, but I think that they're going to be better than a year ago, obviously, because of the additions on the defensive front.
Well, I mean, we've seen them. How many busts do we have from them in cornerback in the past few years? We had the dude from Alabama who's taken... really high. I think he's like the number 5 overall pick.
Man, he was a hell of a bust too. I can't even remember his name.
Right? Yeah.
I can't even.
He was, yeah. 1 second.
I remember who you're talking about, just not the name.
Well, they did it twice. And, yeah. And then they have the other Hargraves was, too.
Didn't they get Darquez Dennard? Was that? Was
Man, that oh, yeah. No? There's Michigan the name. State.
Look, I'm just naming corners that have been busts.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at the defensive front, and, you know, I've gotten in arguments with guys on or people on social media about, you know, where am I coming from with having the Jets, you know, this high, you know, just with the pass rush ranking, for example. It's the addition of what they were able to do in free agency. And then the having Robert Saleh as your head coach, you've got a defensive mind. You're going to have an adequate pass rush, if not a really good top 5 capable pass rush. And I think that changes a lot for the Jets.
And the cornerback, by the way, is D. Milner.
Thank you.
Nice.
Big boy. The Jets, I mean, obviously they're getting C.J. Mosley back this year. I think that's going to help a lot, especially in a Robert Slott defense. They always have a solid middle linebacker. I think we're going to see, like you said, Brandon, Robert Slott, like he did in San Fran, the pass rush makes the secondary better than it actually is. So that yeah. We'll see a heavy focus in that.
Better hope so.
Yeah, no doubt.
Now we're looking at the Baltimore Ravens defense sitting at number 9, and they are always up near the top of the league with the run defense. They rarely allow a 100-yard rusher, tough near the goal line. They're sitting at number 3. Pass coverage as well, though, with Humphreys and Peters, just a dynamite combo from last year. They're sitting at 3rd, and then pass rush was where they actually struggled a little bit last year, and they lost their leading pass rusher in Matthew Judon. Then they took that dude out of Penn State with the blinding speed. So if anyone can build up a youngster for a pass rush.
Adafio way.
Yeah, I think he's got I'm gonna drop you into a solid system and build you up all over you. That's gonna be an interesting one to see. But the Ravens sitting there at number 9. I think honestly, I'm surprised they're this low. I think everyone kind of looks at the Ravens as a consummate like top 6, top 7 defense every year.
Yeah, but they're not.
I mean, I think this year they're still top 10. They're capable of hitting that top 5 tier if they can obviously show that they can continue to add that pass rush. They do blitz at a high rate, one of the highest rates in the NFL, as everybody already knows. So you're putting pressure on your secondary, but their secondary is one of the better secondaries in the league, obviously. We know that. So they're going to be okay there. It's just, what will they look like up front? I have confidence that they're going to be fine. And more than likely that they'll be better than what this ranking shows now. Yeah, so they're capable of top 5, but they're not.
I'm glad you said that, Brandon, because I wanted this, like, I agree with the ranking just from the perspective of when you look at their roster and who they have on the defensive side of the ball, but also just based off pedigree, off of what we know about Harbaugh and the types of teams that he has. As you said, the defense on the back end, it's one of the best. You got, you know, one of the better trio of corners with Peters and Jimmy Smith and Marlon Humphrey. And then I'm not sure. Up front, they're pretty good. You got the second year player Patrick Queen. He was a all rookie first team last year, his rookie year. And then what do you bring out? They lost Matthew Judon in free agency, and they bring in Oway. Well, it's still a lot to ask for a rookie to come in and replace that type of production. So, I think bottom part of the top 10, Brandon. I'm on board with it.
Yeah, they're super confident in, it's Pernell McPhee is out there as well. Then they've got Tyus Bowser. They're confident, you know, anything that you come across or read about, they're confident in those two guys. And then up front, obviously, you know, you've got a really solid defensive front. You've got Derek Wolfe, which he's super strong in the run game. Then you've got your nose tackle, Brandon Williams, another player who's really, really strong in the run game. And then you cap off that defensive front with Calais Campbell. So you've got one heck of a front line there. It's just those outside linebackers or the edge, for example. You want to see what you can get from Bowser and McPhee consistently. And then really you just hit the nail on the head, Patrick Queen. Really low graded player a year ago, not very good in pass coverage, looked like he was on skates a lot of times a year ago when he was in pass coverage. That's something that he should be able to improve on. Other than that, I mean, this defense looks solid, but there's always one guy, right, that you can point out, maybe even two, but overall right. This defense is good.
And then, I mean, you also have to look at it. You got Calais Campbell, as you brought up. He's getting up there in age. He dealt with injury this past season. So, you know, you kind of have to project that stuff, too, in there. But when it's all said and done, I think they'll be a top 10 defense.
No, I agree, too. Let's move on to the San Francisco 49ers. The San Francisco 49ers. You have the run defense up at 7th. Pass coverage up at 14th. And they are going through a transitional phase there. They let go of course, veteran Richard Sherman, and they're going to need a little bit more of a presence there. I think they signed somebody in free agency. I'm going to look that up. But the pass rush, I think it's a little underrated that they're ranked ninth here because Nick Bosa went out midway through the season. So you saw a drop off towards the end of the year here. So that one should actually be boosted and you could see them a little higher. But at the same time, they are losing all-world defensive coordinator Robert Saleh to the New York Jets. So San Francisco, transitional year with a new coach or same business going to be back up there near the top?
That could be part of it. With it, you know, the defensive coordinator. I know that they want to continue to do the same type of thing that they've been doing. I'll say this though, this Bosa brother in particular, he's stronger against the run than he is, you know, as a pass rusher, right? Like he uses a lot of strength. He bull rushes and he does some different things than the other brother, for example. But you're right, he is a guy that you have to obviously pay attention to in the pass rush. I think the real question mark up front for these guys, it's going to be Javon Kinlaw. He's a guy who they need to show up this year. If he shows up, then that further solidifies their ability in the pass rush, especially in the middle and also in the run game too. Run defense is going to be a huge factor, obviously, for these guys up front. So, you know, my confidence level is pretty good. I feel good with the ranking and where they're at. You know, anytime your coaching staff is what it is, right? I feel confident Shanahan is going to make sure that the defensive coordinator is on the same page and the players are on the same page as they were a year ago. So I'm confident in what they're going to be able to do.
Yeah. And, you know, just to compare the Niners, the 49ers to the last team that we just went over, the Ravens, how we talked about, well, the Ravens' strength is probably more so on their back end and on the outside of the defense, whereas the Niners, they differ in that, well, you got Bosa on one end, you got Armstead up front as well, and then you got Warner, one of the better linebackers in the game. And then Brandon said Kinlaw is that's who they really need to step up because they drafted him to replace, what's my man out in Indianapolis now? You're a big fan of him, Woody.
Oh.
Buckner, DeForest.
Buckner, yeah.
Big old Buckner. There you go.
Yeah. His wife's a doctor, by the way.
Bad doctor.
He's a big boy. I didn't want to say all that, but you picked up what I was putting down.
Oh yeah, go peep the Instagram, fellas. Well, I mean, I ain't dropping the app for DeForest's sake. Let's check out Denver. Denver, who I feel like kind of underperformed a little bit as a defense last year, and they've ran into injury problems. The big signing last year, they brought in Jarrell Casey. He was a Pro Bowler from Tennessee, and he did absolutely nothing. Ended up getting cut, I believe, midway through the season. Just wasn't the same player that he was, effective-wise, Tennessee the year before. But they have Von Miller, obviously, who's come back from injury. And then Bradley Chubb, who's had way better numbers than I thought he did. We talked about it a few shows ago, actually, where I thought he was underperforming when, quietly, he's been rated as a very good defender since he's come in the league. And then they went out and just made a blockbuster this offseason. Who did they bring? Let me pull up the roster on.
So I can throw this
secondary.
Out
here. Yeah, go ahead.
Yep. So obviously you brought up how they underperformed a year ago. They were a 5-11 team overall. They don't, on paper right now, they definitely don't look like that. And even last year on paper, you could look at the defense and say, they don't look like a team that should have went 5-11, but you know, you're only as good as, you know, your weakest links in some cases, but, they brought in, Kyle Fuller, Ronald Darby and top 10 pick, Patrick Surtain from Alabama. So you're going to see some competition, obviously a corner there, for some of those spots. And then you've got Callahan who's playing in the nickel, Bryce Callahan. He's arguably could be regarded as one of the best nickel corners in the league.
Sure.
So this secondary overall looks like the best secondary in the NFL. And again, I mean, a lot of it will have, you know, what happens up front will have an effect on what happens on the back half, you know? So if you're putting pressure on teams, you got to get home with that pressure. And some teams, when I was doing my research, a lot of teams, they don't, there's a lot of teams in the NFL that still get pressure with just four. You know, the Rams are a team that do a great job of that, obviously, with Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
Right. So when you've got you could have a great secondary and not, you know, and still not have to worry about putting pressure with extra guys. And then that having your linebackers staying back in coverage as well, that helps. So I think there's some opportunity in this Denver defense. We'll have to see. But yeah, their secondary is legit.
So Denver, once again, like we all said, they get a quarterback and they can control the flow of their offense and they have less three and outs. That's even going to make them a better defense, staying more refreshed, keeping them off the field.
Yeah, I didn't even talk about Justin Simmons or Kareem Jackson either. So
yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying?
But guess what? If let's say that defense is top three this year, but that offense can't put up points, they're gonna be looking at John Elway like, so you really wanted to draft Patrick Surtain instead of getting Justin Fields?
Can I give you guys a comparison?
What's since going you just on brought Crimson that up? Chin?
Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay before Brady. Think about that situation defensively and then look at the differential now.
Well, that's why we hear them in every single quarterback rumor. We hear them with Deshaun Watson. We hear them with Aaron Rodgers because everyone is like, oh, just get them another Hall of Fame quarterback like Peyton Manning, and you can catch the last elite wave of that defense with the Von Miller holdover from the Peyton Manning Super Bowl.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Moving on to number six, we have the Cleveland Browns, who this defense is young, and it's been getting a little bit better each year. And each year, they were 10th in the run defense, 4th in pass coverage, surprisingly, with all-world youngster Denzel Ward, that cornerback. They smashed Johnson, that too. Pick a few years ago, and then they stole all-pro safety John Johnson from the Los Angeles Rams this year, who was holding down in the back. And then their pass rush held down by Myles Garrett. And although he's been underwhelming the past couple years, you got to think lining him up next to an elite rusher like Myles Garrett might return him to the player of old to a certain bit. You have Jadeveon Clowney brought in as well as a free agent. So, Cleveland Browns, projections this year, Brandon.
Man, they're good, man, everywhere. The big question mark is going to be Greg Newsome, the rookie out of Northwestern. People are projecting him to be a starter, and I feel like that's probably a high probability. You don't draft a guy that high if you're not going to get him out there. I feel like he's going to kind of get out there similarly to how they used Denzel Ward when he first started. Again, this team is just loaded at every level. Yeah. They've got somebody at every level, or multiple guys at every level of their defense that are high performing. And then you add Jadeveon Clowney to the mix.
And don't sleep on that youngster they drafted, the middle linebacker out of Notre Dame.
I've been hearing
rave reviews out of him from camp. Like they think that they might have their starter for the next 10 years at middle linebacker. Yeah. That's how high they are.
He's going to come out. He's going to play weak side more than likely out of their base defense, but like his pass coverage ability is what they're more than likely counting on the most. You know, I feel that's where they wanted to upgrade their defense, that and on the back half, Woody, because they added John Johnson. That's something that they needed to take care of for sure. I know they didn't give up like the most explosive plays a year ago, but there were moments where they gave up big plays in the secondary, and it was had to do with over the top safeties weren't in the right position type of situation, and you just shored that up. Like, this team is really good.
The number five defense, New Orleans Saints. Now, last year, they had one of the best defenses they've ever fielded as a franchise. They were just absolutely brutal against the run, ranking first overall in the NFL. Pass coverage slipped a little bit. You thought it'd be a little better with Jenkins at cornerback. And they had Marshawn Lattimore, obviously, the veteran Janoris Jenkins. And then you also have Eli Apple, just taking the Giants' little scraps there. Eli Apple, of course, never doing anything in the NFL until he gets to the Saints. Ugh. Now he's at least half decent. But so last year they were number one overall in run defense, 24th in pass coverage. And then obviously their pass rush, they had top sack getter Trey Hendrickson. He left for the Cincinnati Bengals, so they're going to have to refill that hole. And then on the other side, they have an all-world defensive end.
Oh, did you say Cam Jordan?
Cam Jordan. You told him to answer.
Yeah, I was looking
for
it.
No, you're fine.
Wait, yeah. Cam Jordan or Jordan Cameron?
Jordan Cameron's the one.
Their entire defensive front, aside from the rookie, Peyton Turner, you know, is solid, right? We don't know what Peyton Turner is going to be in the NFL. We can say he projects to, you know, a decent player right now, right? We don't know until at least we see him in preseason. But then you add in they have another guy that can play in that spot. That's Shy Tuttle in the middle. Their whole defensive line is really, really good. I know I had a conversation with CJ before, some guys that are aging, obviously, up front. So them being this high, to me, I feel confident that they can overperform what a lot of people probably think they're capable of going into this year. But again, I'm not confident in what they're going to be able to do as a team, as a whole, to put this defense in a good position. If you're starting Jameis Winston, what Jameis Winston are we going to get? If you're starting Taysom Hill, we don't really know who he is for a full season. So I feel confident that this defense can be solid. They look good. I mean, look what they were able to do to Tampa last year. You know, I there's no doubt in my mind, right?
Nope. I have my reservations. I don't have an issue with the ranking. I get it. It's all justified. I think, you know what? I'm going to make a bold take. I believe the New Orleans Saints misses the playoffs altogether this upcoming season.
Agreed.
I think the defense is what really helps keep this team together. And as Brandon mentioned it, and some key guys that's aging, at some point that cliff is going to come. Cam Jordan's 32. DeMario Davis is 32. We've already seen some decline, not steep decline, but we've seen some decline in their play as of late. So we talked about the secondary, the corners. They've played pretty horrendous the past couple of years. And what's protected them so much is having that stout front. And if they decline, the wheels totally fall off. What he brought it up. Trey Hendrickson left. That 13 and a half sacks you got to replace. They go out and get Turner, who, in my opinion, he's a project guy. I don't even know if he'll really be able to come in and play right away and replace that production. But, you know, I guess we'll see when it's all said and done. But I think New Orleans' best days are behind them.
Yeah, the secondary committed a lot of penalties last year. So that's another thing to keep an eye on for New Orleans. Are they able to not be too grabby on the outside, be more disciplined? Marshawn Lattimore is one of those guys that, you know, committed a lot of penalties a year ago, so...
And he's a talented player, him and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. I mean, it's still some good guys who have talent that are young on this defense. But, you know, they haven't necessarily developed or transcended the way you thought they would.
Yeah. I feel that.
And our next defense in the discussion today will be the Washington football team, who my favorite young defense in the league to watch right now. Last year, just as the season went on, really as the youngster Trey Young got a healthy, not Trey Young, I'm thinking of basketball. what's his first name?
Chase.
Chase Young. Thank you, man. A lot of youngins coming out in all the leagues. Yeah. Well, yeah, one looks like the frayed end of a mop, and one looks like a big old beefy defensive end. But Chase Young, obviously, as he got healthier as the season went on, and just coming out, he was a little banged up as a rookie. He really took this defense to the next level. And you saw legit vets respecting this dude's, like, dominance on the field, like, shaking his hand, telling him, like, yo, youngin, you're gonna have a nice career here in the NFL. And then, obviously, they had Montez Sweat show up last year. And they had the luxury of letting veteran and all-pro defensive end outside linebacker hybrid Ryan Kerrigan walk this offseason. So they expect a lot from Sweat going into this season. But Washington was ranked fifth overall with the run defense. Pass coverage 21, that was their weakness on the corners and the outside safeties. They worked on that a little bit in the offseason, so that should get a little better. Then obviously with Young, the pass rush is at sitting at second. They're sitting pretty there. I don't think they're going to have a problem.
No, I think that you just summed it all up. That pass rush is going to help the secondary get better.
Yeah, and yo, this front four, it reminds me a lot of how the San Francisco 49ers built their front four over the course of 3-4 years. I mean, it's deadly. You got Jonathan Allen and Daron Payne and Chase Young, and that's scary. And by the way, we always have discussion about, you know, some of these guys, and we talked, I think, last week about how we couldn't believe Christian Barmore, interior lineman from Alabama, fell to where he fell. Look, if there's a sure thing, it's an Alabama interior lineman, and Washington did right and got two of them, and they're working out. And then Chase Young and Montez Sweat. I mean, hey, they're in an ideal predicament. They're young, they're hungry, they have weapons on both sides of the ball. You know, Washington's front office, they've done a really, really good job.
Yeah, they have. It's pretty good too. I like the Jameen Davis pickup at linebacker as well, from Kentucky. That's another guy that I didn't look at him until super late, and I didn't give him enough of a look, and he's a guy that clearly they like, for them to have drafted him as high as they did. So that's a guy that is a sideline to sideline player, you know, possesses good size. Apparently he's good in coverage as well. So keep an eye out on him coming into this year. He'll probably start.
That's so Brandon, rookie,
obviously,
just to add to that. So I checked out Jamin Davis a little bit coming out of Kentucky. And I know, as you mentioned it, sideline to sideline guy, great athlete. That was his strength. His weakness, as it usually is with guys who are great athletes, sideline to sideline, is point of attack, right? Point of attack coming downhill. And I like this tandem of him going to Washington because he's with two guys in the middle who are really good at clogging up the lane, and it'll allow him to go sideline to sideline and shoot those gaps. Again, Jonathan Allen, Daron Payne. So I really like that marriage. Washington, man, they've done a great job. Great job. I hate to say it. Ugh.
Washington football team. Man, yeah, I tell you, I miss the colors. I miss the helmets with the stripe, even as, you know, with everything problematic as it was. Nobody looked tougher than Steven Davis carrying three dudes with that helmet with the warrior on the side. That was tough. Now it's just WFT. They got to do something with them uniforms right now. Pittsburgh Steelers last year. Honestly, their stats probably would have been better, but midway through the season, Bud Dupree, one of their top pass rushers, went out with injury, and he obviously left in free agency, signed a big old deal with the Tennessee Titans, trying to fix their pass rushing woes. But they still have arguably, I think it's Aaron Donald, but some people would say this, usually people from Pittsburgh, J.J. Watt, not little brother, T.J. Watt, who's taken up the mantle as arguably the best defensive player in the NFL. And last year, he made a case. I'm all Aaron Donald. I think he's the best player in the NFL, period. Don't at me. But T.J. Watt, he came out and really made an MVP case last year. Defensive player of the year case. And then the pass coverage, after going out and getting Minka Fitzpatrick, he really solidified that secondary. And then the pass rush, I mean, T.J. Watt, we'll see how they fill on the other side. And the run defense has always been stellar in Pittsburgh. We're going to see another Pittsburgh tough defense this year. And they get Devin Bush returning back from injury, which I know Brandon can't wait to talk about.
Yeah, they're really good up front. This is another really good team up front. I mean, this seems to be the trend among most of these top 10 teams, for that matter, is just having that solid front, you know, with good edge rushers or great edge rushers. Watt is up there, obviously, at the top. It's the other side, which, you know, everybody's saying it's going to be Alex Highsmith on the other side. So I'm confident that they're going to be able to fill that spot, or at least the void that Bud Dupree left. They're secondary, man. Like, their secondary is solid. You get Devin Bush back healthy, have him improve in pass coverage overall, and this defense is going to be really, really good once again.
Yeah, I expect Pittsburgh this upcoming season to turn back the hands of Tom a little bit and just run the ball 65% of the time and rely heavily on his defense. If they can get that front five on the offensive side of the ball working good enough to where they can control the clock, not have Big Ben sling it, around the field. Quite honestly, I know they have three really good receivers, man. I would look into, like I said, old school Pittsburgh football, relying on this defense because you got some studs. Devin Bush coming back. You're good on the back end. Joe Hayden, and you've been getting good value out of him for the last few years. Casey Hayward, Stephon to it. I mean, that defense is by far the superior unit on this team. So let's run the ball. Let's give it to Najee 350 times and old school AFC North football.
Run him into the ground in 3 years.
Hey, do it. This is what you got to do. I mean, that's kind of what they got.
That's what
they
do. That's what Pittsburgh, that's their bread and butter.
And they've gotten away from that with old Faintner, going out there with five wide. I mean, it's disgusting. Yeah. It's not what I'm used to seeing at Heinz Field.
Yeah, it's true.
The Los Angeles Rams. One of the last year, that was a special defense, man. They really put just like the Rams were missing running backs. Jared Goff was having the worst year of his career. They carried that team to the second round of the playoffs, and a lot of that had to do with
Aaron. Are you still defending Jared Goff?
The fact that he's a serviceable quarterback, yeah.
Sure. I mean, I could tell because you didn't say Jared Goff was trash. You just said, one of the worst years of his career.
I'm gonna let that one slide. We'll just keep talking about defense.
Anyways, Los Angeles Rams. Aaron Donald. We gonna ever see a dip from this man? I don't think so. He's still so young. It's crazy how young he is, and so he could get better still. He hasn't reached his peak. It's wild. It's unbelievable.
He's won three Defensive Player of the Year awards in the last four years. So, I mean, he's
absolutely filthy. And then, but the thing with the Rams last year and the thing that makes his defense tick, when you have a pass rusher like Aaron Donald, they can get from base rush sets to the quarterback so quickly. It makes an elite cover corner like Jalen Ramsey, that you can put a wide receiver out in an island with, that much better. It's Ramsey's stats last year were crazy on how he locked down number one wide receivers. It was nuts. Those two as a combo, it should be illegal. It's like a cheat code of Madden. It's unbelievable. Run defense second overall, pass coverage eighth, and pass rush fourth.
The Rams were the fifth best team in run stop rate back in 2020. They had the third lowest rate of plays where a defender was out of position to make a play a year ago. It shows up in the data of plays where they're giving up 15 yards or more, where the Rams ranked first in the NFL. They gave up the least amount of 15 plus yard plays. They were also bottom third in the NFL. And I mentioned this earlier, some teams get away with not having to blitz as much. Because they got, not some teams. Not every team has an Aaron Donald, right? Aaron Donald completely changes the complexion of this team on defense. Without Aaron Donald, it's a whole different ball game, right? They can lose a guy like we were just discussing a moment ago, and Aaron Donald can just keep it glued together. The most important factor is his ability to just control the middle of that offensive line like he does, especially on pass downs, and his ability to shoot gaps or find ways. His hand usage is absolutely top notch. The guy just finds a way to get to the quarterback, and moving the quarterback off his spot, secondaries love that because it creates inaccuracies and it helps them get back into position when they're out of position, the whole nine. But again, you know, they ranked in the top third of NFL defenses in third down average yards to go a year ago, which is another indicator of their first down and second down success rate, which means they're keeping offenses behind schedule, so to speak, right? So yeah. they're giving up 3 yards on first down, right? They're keeping them below a 40% threshold on first and 10, which is going to make it easier, make it more obvious what the offense is going to do on that third down when it's time to show up, the money downs, right? And they also had the top defense in score rate a year ago on a per drive basis. They gave up 1.5 points per drive in 2020. So this defense, Woody, you stated it already, had a great year a season ago. They should be able to match it, you would hope. They do have, obviously, a new defensive coordinator this year. You know, with Brandon Staley moving on to be the head coach of the Chargers, they've got Raheem Morris as the DC, but everything I've read, everything that I've heard, they're keeping it the same. They're not going to change anything. And Raheem Morris is basically going to run it the way that it's been run.
Man, Brandon, that was awesome. I wish I would have made my point before you took off, because I was going to say basically exactly what you said, just without the numbers, how the Rams really seem to get teams into third and long. And then if you ever watch them, they play fairly conservative on third downs, as you just kind of alluded to with the numbers, because they have teams in third and long situations. So that's one of my
favorite defenses going into this year.
Yeah. Raheem Morris, he's a good defensive coach. So don't get it twisted. Do not get it twisted.
And then we move on to our number one overall fantasy quarter, fantasy defense last year.
Woody's got fantasy on his mind.
I do. I'm trying to control my excitement. So this is what I just did, CJ. You're going to love this. So they're kind of overvaluing youngsters a little bit too far, and some people reach on some quarterbacks. My team, I just drafted back-to-back in the third and fourth round, Ezekiel Elliott and DeAndre Hopkins. So I have Alvin Kamara, Justin Jefferson, Ezekiel Elliott, and DeAndre Hopkins.
Way to use my strategy against me.
All right. And so our number one overall defense in the league last year, obviously the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who we saw this defense. It was kind of a beautiful thing. They started off a little slow. They gave up some points. And then as the season went on, that the years of high draft picks and the veterans that they brought in, everything just kind of came together for these guys. And a lot of it had to do with all-world linebacker Devin White. We saw this man become an absolute superstar last year. 10 sacks, one of the top leaders in tackles in the league. And then you have veteran Lavonte David, who's been one of the best coverage linebackers in the league for years. Then you brought in a possible Hall of Famer, probable Hall of Famer, Ndamukong Suh, possibly after this career, especially with this last run that he's had with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then what clutched them in the playoffs, and we didn't even see this last year. So their rankings in the regular season last year didn't have to do with this, but this took them over the top in the Super Bowl, was when Vita Vea, that big boy out of Washington, came back for the Super Bowl and just was a hole in the middle. Absolutely eating guys up in that 3-4 defense. And then we didn't even bring up one of the best pass rushers in the league, in Shaquille Barrett, an outside linebacker. This defense is stacked. They brought back all their starters.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, guys, the Tampa Bay run defense, 6th overall pass coverage, 2nd pass rush, 1st. Do we see any fall off here? I could see them repeating it again.
Yeah. I feel like from top to bottom at every, you know, at every layer of that defense, I think they're more than solid. You could argue as far as duo, they have, if not the best pass rushing duo, one of the best in the NFL. As far as their corners, I wouldn't suggest any one of these guys are one of the top corners in the NFL, but as a duo, they're pretty darn good. And same thing with their safeties. Antoine Winfield Jr., he's young, coming into his second year. And then you got Jordan Whitehead at the other safety. Solid players. And then it goes without saying, Woody, Devin White, he has room for improvement. Great athlete. And then, you know, Lavonte David, goes without saying. And look, this is scary, man. It just feels like.
Yeah, right? Like it feels like, remember the Yankees used to load up in the offseason MLB?
Yeah.
Just like, oh, man.
Like, Tom, what you doing, bro? Like,
hey.
Bro, they got a one-handed defensive end that's like, good. This even.
Hey, listen, though.
I miss you, Jason Pierre-Paul.
When I wrote an article about the secondary, and I literally made it about Tom Brady. I don't know how I was able to do that, but I did. And I said because Tom, I wanted to kind of break down what the difference was year over year, right? When you're going from a Jameis Winston to a Tom Brady, I said because Tom Brady completed the sum of the whole in Tampa, his presence, his ability as a player, his leadership, it elevated the entire team on both sides, right? So the prior year, though, when you look at Jameis Winston's statistics, he threw 30 interceptions, which is obviously not going to put your defense in a successful position, right? So defense is predicated on getting stops, creating field position advantages for their own offense. But when the offense is turning, when your defense and your own offense is turning over the football at a high rate, you're putting additional pressure on your defense, giving the opponent short fields and extra opportunities and further tiring the defense with added possessions. That's not an ingredient of success, right? So I feel like it took Tampa a little bit of time, and I was super critical, I'll admit, for a large portion of the year, all the way through that Kansas City beatdown of, you know, their defensive strategy, using too many blitz strategies and different things like that, opening their secondary up to get blown up like they did. They just brought it together, man. And you summed it up, Vita Vea, him coming back, that's a huge, yeah.
It's a horse. So. Yeah, I don't see a fall off there. And the fact that they got Sue to come back on so cheap, it's just not fair. It's just not fair. It's crazy. All right, guys. Well, that actually wraps up our NFL defensive coverage. The averages of run blocking, pass blocking, and pass rushing all put together from our sister site, Football Scout 365. Go check it out. Brandon's preseason packet of coverage for fantasy is unbelievable. You're getting way too much for free. Go look at that. It's absolutely crazy. Shout out to M Cash as always for the fire theme song. And you know, for me, Coach Nate, CJ, thanks for listening.
Hey, we made it. I'm sweating whole show.
I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9-to-5 is something that I don't want to do. Sit in the cubicle.